the Lord this morning for salvation and all the blessings of the Almighty. And I'm glad we can have heaven, we can have Jesus and all of His love to stay before us and look to us, and we can look to it and live, find joy. So we thank the Lord this morning that He came to us. Singing that song just then, as a scripture, I believe Paul said it, great is the mystery of godliness. And when you study history some, and you study the Bible, you'll find that there's always been a mystery surrounding God and His identity. And men have perceived God in all forms and fashions, some in honesty, some in deceit. I'm glad the Lord recognized that we needed to see Him in all His glory and His beauty. And I believe the Lord Jesus said to one of His disciples, "Have I been so long with you and you've not seen the Father?" I'm glad that Jesus Christ, God was in Christ, reconciling the world. I'm glad this morning that we can have a better view and a better vision of heaven and our eternal reward because we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And He is that way and He is that truth, and He's the means by which you and I can have a vision and have something set before us. So thank the Lord for that this morning. There's a song in our book that I'd like to just read the chorus to us, please. It's number 109. In our songbook, "Thinking, Lord of Thee" is the name of the song. And there's a scripture or the phrase of this chorus that I'd like for us to take note of and consider a little while this morning in the Word of God. "Thinking of Thee, O Lord, of Thee, musing on things above, till every chord within my soul is tuned with heavenly love." Now, not being much musically inclined, this last sentence has got what they call a crescendo, if I'm not mistaken. And I believe as you begin to sing that line, maybe with each note, you raise the volume a little bit. Maybe that's a simple explanation. Till it peaks out in a great anthem of praise, a great anthem of thanksgiving and of hope and desire. Till every chord within my soul is tuned with heavenly love. I'd like to think today some concerning that, about being in tune with God, or being tuned by God, or having the Lord to be the balance and the foundation and the direction and the course of our life. You and me, with all our faculties and all of our ways, taking all that we are, male and female, old and young, various appetites and likes and various ways about every one of us and all that goes in to make who we are, make that up, till every chord, every aspect about us has been touched and tuned and perfected in the Master's hand. Till every chord. Set that as a quest, as a desire, as a goal. To do that, we listen. I couldn't tune a piano if I had to. But people who know how, they listen to what the chords and what the strings are vibrating. I can tell you sometimes if a piano's out of tune or not. And I can tell myself when I'm out of tune with reality or with God. But I don't have the means in myself to tune a piano. I could twist and I could turn. I could pull. I could do all of those. I could wax them. I could get them cold and I could get them hot. I couldn't tune a piano. I cannot tune my soul. But I can know when it's out of discord at times. And I can say, Lord, tune me. So I'm thinking this morning about you and me being in tune with God. Our heart, our soul, our mind, our body, and our spirit. The total man, till every chord, everything about us. I'd like to begin reading this morning. Well, before I go there, think of something this way before we read the scripture. Everything that is composed of two parts, minimum two parts, there must be in those two ingredients in tune with each other for the effectiveness of that object to be shown forth or accomplished. To the degree that anything is out of sequence, if the water is on the outside of the cup, whatever, you're going to have disharmony and the effectiveness of this water being able to quench my thirst is going to be severely limited if it doesn't abide within the cup, if it doesn't stay in a place where it is where it's supposed to be. Our lives are such a beautiful thing, and they have so much potential. They have so much power that can be manifest out of them. But if we're out of harmony, if we're out of tune with the one who is the director, the one who is the great God of heaven, then we're going to see what we see so much of in life, and that's ills. And that's, Mr. Marsha talked to us, I believe, Sister Connie, rather, about conflict. And we're going to see conflicts arise then. Listen to what the Scripture said in 139 of Psalms in the 14th verse. 139 of Psalms in the 14th verse. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I know you have, and haven't we all stood in awe and stand in awe at the intricacies and the complexities of the human body? Haven't we all been rather awed by how there's thousands, maybe millions, of different parts that go to make up the person that you and I, that we are? And the psalmist said that when he began to think on this, we begin to realize that it's a fearful and it's a wonderful thing that you have all these complexities and we're able to function. We're able to act out. We're able to build. We're able to accomplish. We're able to dream. We're able to hope. We're able to love. We're able to feel. We're able to respond to others. We're able to do so many things because of the complexity and the working together that God put in our lives. So we stand in awe. And we are aware, I think every one of us are aware that we are a physical being, and we are a mental being, and we're a spiritual being. And how each one of those have their own identities. And none of us are entirely alike. None of us have exactly the same makeup. None of us have exactly the same feelings, or the same emotions, or the same desires. But yet, when we begin to look at it, there are myriads, thousands, multiplied thousands of impulses and challenge that challenge us daily. Now, what I'm thinking about, in this complexity of man, and it's not in you and me to direct our paths, with our appetites and our feelings, and the person we are, and the attitudes we have, the needs that we have, that there are just beyond our comprehension the impulses or the challenges that we face daily, and how easy it is for man, when he begins to take on the direction of his own self, to get out of tune. Because the impulses or the challenges that we face are greater than we can muster up an answer for. And we begin many times then to react according to the natural man in whatever capacity we're able to understand. We have a will and we have a spirit. And those two things seek their own justification. They seek their own pleasure. They seek their own comfort. And left without a guide from the Lord, there's going to arise many conflicts between us and Him, but also between people. People's will is not always the same. We need to be tuned in heavenly love, see, in order to be able to effectively work in the community of man, one with another, and with God, and with ourselves. So we're fearfully, we're wonderfully, complexly put together. We're so much more than just blood and veins and lungs and hearts, but we're an intellect. We are an identity. We have appetites and feelings and ideas and dreams and emotions. We have a will. We have a spirit about us. And all those things left unattended always seek their own comfort, their own gratification. So we are a vast array. We're a very complex creature. And the writer said, that I know right well. I want you today to understand that every one of us have a real complexity about us. And I don't believe today we thoroughly and fully understand our own selves. We are a workmanship of the Lord. Consequently, I can't understand that. His ways are higher than my ways. His ways and His thoughts are greater than my thoughts. And when man fell, they left the umbrella, the protection, the guidance of the Lord. In a way, they said, we don't need it any longer. And since then, man has been rather fruitlessly seeking his own way and trying to develop something we call civilization, whereby we can live in harmony one with another. And been some successes, been a lot of failures. We can't even know our own selves. I believe David wrote, try me, O Lord. To look at me, Lord, see where there's disharmony, not with out there, but in this own man here. This own complex individual with all of his ways and his body, his spirit, his mind, his emotions, his feelings, his hurts, his pains, his sicknesses, all these things that come and challenge me for their time, my time. I want to be heard. I want this and I want that. And challenging me to distract me and distract you from being the effective individual for the kingdom of God that He wants us to be. Distracting a congregation through individual pursuits. Individual feelings and hurts and pains and ideas and pulling away from the tuning that the Lord has for His people and for you and for me. So we're complex. We're very complex. I don't understand it myself altogether. But then it becomes frustrating to us. I have all these impulses, all these things going through my mind. Paul said, I want to do right. I can't. I don't want to do wrong. And I do. He needed tuning. He needed the hand of the master. He needed something greater than his own ability. He needed to not trust in his own desires to make good desires to bring forth and put to pass the bad desires or the bad impulses. So it becomes a very frustrating conflict in a person. Maybe today we're suffering from frustrations because we have not allowed ourselves to have the chords of our life fine-tuned and in harmony with God and with His Word and with His Spirit through disobedience, through lack of faith, through unbelief, through a self-will and a spirit of, I want what I want, and I have a right to it. We suffer, I think, as humans in our happiness because we fail to submit every chord of our life, every chord of our heart, every chord of our mind, every chord of our spirit, the total man to Jesus Christ, and allow Him to fine-tune us. We'll go on now. It brings not only frustrations, but it brings conflict. Conflict with myself, conflict with my brother, and conflict with God. It becomes distracting from the purpose from which we've been called. Because, what shall I say? These other things that I yet feel have a certain amount of authority in my life are distracting me and calling to me and causing me to miss the blessed, the peace, and the joy, and the righteousness, and the harmony God has for me. It estranges us from God, separates us from God. It will estrange us from God's purpose. Lord, help us this morning to have something settled in our hearts, and that is God's purpose. It is so simple. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Folks, we complicate something because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Because I hurt, I cry, I laugh. Because I enjoy this and I dislike that. And we complicate things. Let us hear the summation of the story. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We understand that. Lord, help us today now to submit the chords of our life. May I use a marionette or a puppet as an example. Chords to his fingers, depending on the complexity of the puppet. Chords to his elbows and wrist, neck, even to his jaw, maybe to his eyes. To his legs, to his back, to his feet, to his neck. And sometimes the marionette is not controlled just by one man. I used to have a little puppet, and I never was too good at it. Sometimes they're controlled by a couple of people up there behind the stage. And those chords, if this is going to be lifelike and purposeful, those chords have to be coordinated. What happens to us is the chords of our life, the things that matter to us, the things that cause you and me to be the person we are, they get out of discord. And we need to recognize that we need to take our life, our body, our soul, our spirit, our mind, everything we are and our dreams, and present them to the Lord. Because, Lord, all that I am, all that You have made me to be, there's one single solitary purpose in it. That is to respect You, to love You, and to serve You, and to keep Your commandments and do Your will. We can elaborate. Jesus did. He said, a light unto the world. We need to recognize as a person, we are to be filled with the light of God. There should be no darkness in us. Our eyes should be single. We should be full of light. We need to be as a candle set up on a candlestick, giving light to all around us. How many times have we failed? How many times have you felt you've come short? I have felt that. And I always go back, it wasn't God's fault. It wasn't people's fault. It was my fault. It was my responsibility to have myself tuned in and listening to and controlled by the Master. So the Lord wants us, He said it, do everything, all things, to the glory of God. That you and me might be so submitted to the Lord. That's our whole duty. And we as people, and I don't mean to cast us down, but we as people get caught up in our own complexity, not understanding it, and we fail to be the effective person or people that God would have us to be sometimes. And it's because these other influences, my wants, my wishes, my will, my spirit is not totally tuned to the Master. That something within us yet needs the hand of the Master. Something within us still needs Him to touch us, remove, or to place something in us. Think about that. Solomon, and you read Ecclesiastes, I don't really enjoy Ecclesiastes. It's more of a lamentation on the vanity of life to me. Solomon had it. He reached the pinnacle. And he misused it. Misused it terribly. And because of it, consequences befell him. Happiness left him. The Spirit of God left him. And he concluded that when he summed it all up, he said it's all vanity. He had yielded himself and he withheld himself from nothing. Whatever his hands, his eyes saw and wanted, he was in the powerful and rich position to bring it in. And in the process, he separated himself from the love of God. And it all became to him down toward the end. Vanity as nothing. So he thought and he thought and he did write this and God had to give it to him. When it's all summed up, all this that I am so fearfully and made in my thinking, my feelings, my appetites, my wishes, my hopes, my whatevers, all of that comes to nothing and vanity if I have not submitted it to God and let Him take the chords of my life and tune them with His heavenly love. I've missed it. I've missed the love, the fullness, and the joy that Jesus Christ had for me. May the Lord help us this morning to recognize we're fearfully and wonderfully made, but we need to be fine-tuned to the Master. You think about what happened at the disobedience in the garden, and how ever since then, man has had a plague put on him. And I think part of that plague is our own self-will, trying to direct our own path. And it became disrupting to us. I wonder, and I have no way of gauging this, I have no way of polling this, I guess, scientifically. I wonder how much true happiness is in the world today. I wonder how much true peace is in the world today. I ask this question. I wonder how much happiness could be in the world today. I wonder how much peace could be in the world today. Think about that. I believe that we as humans have fallen far short of what God has for people. I believe God's got something better than striving, fighting, complaining. I believe God's got something better for man than an estrangement and a warfare from Him. I believe God has a peace that passes all understanding, a perfect peace, a keeping peace, a joy that becomes our strength and not a fleeting vanity that lingers for a while and then we tire of it and want to go to something else. I believe God's got something better for us than my opinion or your opinion, what we think, or my will or your will. I believe God has His perfect will. I believe the Lord had a design for us that, by and large, humanity is missing it. And they're certainly coming short of it. And they're not entering into it. And the reason why is people don't know and will not yield themselves to the Prince of Peace, to the King of Glory. And we begin to take all of our faculties, the complexity of our minds, and invent and dream and come up with theories and debate them and work with them and set them forth as great understanding, and we fail to indulge in the Word of God, to obey the Word of God, to hear what God has to say about the matter. I'd like for us to remember a little something. It's over in Psalms 82. I'd like to read that. It's probably been maybe a year ago or more. I didn't keep a record of it. The Lord gave me a little message here. He said the world has had an announcement to make. And I said it this way. The announcement is the world is missing. Not in the standpoint that you can't see it, but it's missing the mark. Missing the purpose. Over in Psalms 82 and 5, speaking about different situations, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Seems like if it was ever out of course, it's out of course today. Missing and missing the mark. Every man to his own tent. Every kind of perverse lifestyle has been legitimized. Rules and regulations to support this and defend that. People are seeking peace through war. People are taking lives in record numbers. Religion is a bad name. Godliness is scoffed at. Creation is a byword. Just this week I read in the news where using God's name in vain is okay. Did you read that? It was a man who cursed, and I forgot all the details. Took it to court. And it was his right to use profanity. The world's off course, folks. The world's off course. You think about it a minute. The cows aren't off course. The peacock in my backyard, he's not off course. The squirrels come up to my bird feeder, they're not off course. Tell you who's off course. Fearfully and wonderfully made man. The intellect, the authority granted to man is unlike anything in the animal kingdom. Nothing, nothing can compare to man's brilliance, if I may say it that way. We are fearfully, wonderfully made. But we are off course. We miss the mark. We've taken all that we have, all of our abilities, reasoning, thinking, remembering, rationalizing, and we went our way with it. And we didn't submit ourselves to God with it. And instead of being in tune and in touch and in harmony with the purpose of God, we've missed it. I could say the animals aren't. The geese, they don't have any problem with it. They still go north and south and eat the corn in the fields and the wheat. The little ducks in the river, they still go down and come up. Been doing it for centuries. They'll just keep right on doing it. We mankind, fearfully and complex man, we took it in our hands and said, I can do it. And it's been in trouble ever since. The other morning in worship, Karen and I were reading, and I came across a scripture that I want to read to us. It's in 86th chapter of Psalms. Bow down thy, first three verses, bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Lord, help us today. Take the hat off. Divest yourself of pride. Look at yourself in the mirror. Get an anatomy book out and look at it. Read a little psychology if you want to, you know. Think about the abilities you have. And then it's been thrust into your hands to guide it. For I am poor and needy. So fearfully and wonderfully made, it's like giving a child an atomic bomb. You wouldn't do that, would you? But when man said, I'm going to do it myself, I hope this morning we've learned from trying to do it ourselves. You know, we shouldn't stump our toe over the same root twice. One time, maybe. Maybe. But the second time, folks, we ought to recognize from our error and from our mistake. But you know what? We can't do that without God's help. I'm poor and I'm needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. I am with a desire, I want to serve you, Lord. My heart is to do right. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in me. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee. Now let's go down a little bit to the 11th verse. The 11th through the 12th. Teach me thy ways, thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. Listen to what he said. Look at me, Lord. I'm poor and I'm needy. I got more thoughts and more ideas and more feelings than I can ever handle. Lord, unite my heart. Bring my heart in, Lord. Bring my passions in. Bring my thoughts in. Father, take all the cords of who this man is. Everything that makes me the person that others identify with. Everything that I have hoped for and wanted in my aims and goals and ambitions, my prejudices, all these things that cause me to have a mind and to think, Lord, oh God, I give them to you. And he said, unite my heart to have a great respect and a fear and an awe and a wonder of who you are. That I will recognize that this I know right well, that I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made, and I don't have the power and I don't have the authority. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the grace. I don't have the holiness. I don't have anything about me, Lord, in righteousness that can take all the complexity of my feelings, my emotions, my mind, my appetites, my words, my hearing, my eyes, my hands, my feet. The purpose you call, I don't have the worthy all in myself to cause all of that to coordinate in a way that will bring glory to your name, that I will be part of that city that is set on a hill. Lord, if I continue the way I'm going, if I continue thinking what I'm thinking, I'm going to be disruptive. I'm going to bring a confusion. There's going to be a conflict between what you're asking of me and what the purpose you have for me is. In the direction I'm taking. Lord, I need to be tuned by the Holy Ghost and by the Word of God. I need You, Lord, to come in and take possession of the reins of my life. I need You, Lord, to take control and be on the throne of my heart. I need to take myself out of the picture and submit myself to You. May we today be challenged. God is calling us to unite ourselves with Him, body, soul, mind, and spirit. All of our hopes, all of our desires, all of our emotions. Take everything we are and our appetites and bring them to Him. Lord, tune Him into holy love, a holy responsibility, a holy pattern of Jesus Christ in this world today. Lord, unite us. And when I say us, all that I am within me. Do you ever have conflict in your own self? Most of us do, probably. God, help me to bring my conflicts. We hear conflict resolution seminars and meetings. We need to meet at the cross. Take all that we are. Say, Lord, here's the baggage. Here's the lump. Here's the whole thing, Lord. And I have really messed it up. There's sin in my life. There's anger in my life. There's jealousy in my life. There's greed in my life. There's things in my life that I have let rule me, and they've dishonored You, and they've separated me from You, and I'm ashamed of them, Lord. But I continually yield to them. Lord, I bring all this that is so complex, and I don't understand. All the ruling authorities. You know, and everything about us has a little authority. Everything about us has some ability to rule us. Lord, I bring all of that and ask You, how many keys are there on a piano? 66, is that right? Can you imagine what it's like for Beethoven to take those and rule those keys? That is an amazing thing to me. You set me down and say, Stan, you're in charge of these keys. You ought to get up. We had a piano here. You'd get up and leave. You wouldn't sit there and you ought to say, well, you know, dinner's burning. You know, I forgot to check the air in the tires, you know. Something would happen and you'd leave if I tried to take over the 66 keys. But we call them masters. Beethovens. All those fellas. God help us to call Him master. And take the chords of our life and say, Lord, I don't know. I don't understand. Help me. Unite me with You, Lord. You know, He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. I want to read to you something Adam Clark said concerning this, unite my heart to fear Thy name. I think he said it so well. And when I think about the word heart now, I want you to think about absolutely everything you are. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And think about what Adam Clark said. Because it's true, and we can learn from it. He said, a divided heart is a great curse. I think we all could say amen to that. Taking that and taking the unity away from it, to me, it's kind of like taking a piece of machinery. A washing machine comes to my mind. Something smaller, maybe. A drill. Something. And taking it totally apart and then say, wash my clothes. Here's a washing machine. It's in this box here. Where's the plug? Plug it in. Wash my clothes. You know, for that washing machine to work, it's got to be some nuts, some bolts, some belts. It's got to be some connecting of wires. There's got to be some timers connected in and all, etc. It's got to be some valves installed in place. I probably couldn't do that either. It's like you and me trying to take a drill that's been fragmented, tore all apart, and say, here's a drill, go drill a hole in that sheetrock. Couldn't do it. But you know what? There's a lot of us try it. And you know what it said? A divided heart what Adam Clark says, is a great curse. He said, scattered affections are a miserable plague. I agree with that. A double-minded man, a man who would try to serve God and mammon, scattering our affections across the board of all of our impulses, he said that that's a miserable plague. Today, I don't know where God has seen you and what he sees in us all together. But if he's seeing this harmony in my soul or in your soul, if I'm trying to wander here and serve God here, if I'm trying to do those things that's right and honorable, yet I yield to the mind and the emotional stresses of life. He said indecision of the mind and division of affections mar any work. Today, we need to take God, ourselves, and present them to God and say, here I am, Lord, tune me. He said the heart must be won that the work may be won. I could add it this way, that the work may be done. Your heart and my heart to exemplify the beauty of Christ, the glory of the kingdom of God. We've got to be single. We cannot be scattered about with our affections and our feelings and our emotions. We cannot let this happen and rule and this happen and rule and this situation be an overcomer to us. But we must take ourselves and submit ourselves to God and say, Lord, it's too complex for me. This morning, are you trying to figure it out? This morning, are you trying to do the work that God purposed for himself alone to do? Are you trying to figure out how to satisfy all the little things that come your way? Folks, we cannot do that. We're going to be miserable. And say, well, somebody's got to be at fault. It's got to be the preacher's fault. It's got to be the church's fault. Well, I know it's mama's fault or daddy's fault. Well, I know George Bush is his, the reason of it all. And the conflict is not there at all, folks. The conflict is here. The peace that passes understanding comes into the heart of man, not to the world. God granted his peace to come in and dwell inside man, not inside the world. God wants to change my heart. And that's what I've got to concentrate on. So I've got to take my heart and say, Lord, here, unite it with your will. Then we can have peace. Then we can have joy. Then we can have righteousness. Then we can see how to let our light shine. Then our light can shine. Then we can have peace in a home and a family. But you mark this, when all these things rule, or half of them, or a fourth of them, you're going to have discord on whatever level it's operating. If you don't come to terms with it, it's got to be somebody else's fault. Remember that. Because it can't be mine. The heart must be won that the work may be won. If this be wanting, all is wrong. That's a pretty profound statement, really. I think I pretty much agree with it, though. Kind of like a wrench in the gears, you might say. This is a prayer which becometh the mouth of every Christian. In other words, he's saying it would become us to say, Lord, unite my heart with thee. Bring me in to an agreement with you. That our soul, he said, our mind and our bodies may be kept blameless and preserved. That we become that light of the world. That we not be that double-minded person. That the effects of our life will be a blessing to God's purpose, to God's call, to God's will. And that our will is to do the will of the Father. Our will is to accomplish God's will. Can we honestly today from our heart say that to God? above everything else, Lord, I want your will to be done, and I'm willing to crucify my will so that your will might be done. Can you say that this morning? Quite a statement. Lord, I want to be united with you at all cost. Whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. Why? Because I see the value of it. Because it's the right thing to do. It's the safe thing to do. It's the glorious thing to do. It is that that adds virtue to my life and gives purpose and meaning to my life. And my life will not become vain and empty, and I come down to the end and say, all is vanity, all is vanity. But Lord, somewhere back there I said, Lord, it's all yours. Now I come down to the end, and even so come, Lord Jesus. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. We must understand we are too fearfully and wonderfully made to let ourselves float along. We got too many things about us that's too powerful and too strong, too great, too marvelous, too rich, too beautiful. And we must take those things in their great authority. The sense of injustice, the knowledge of good and evil. We must take all of those marvelous faculties and say, Lord, too great for me. Solomon was wise one time, and God rewarded him for it. He said, ask what you will, Solomon. I don't know how long Solomon thought. I suppose Solomon could ask for anything he wanted, and God said, it's yours. And Solomon asked this way. He said, this is too great a task that you've set my hand to. And I don't have the wherewithal to rule and judge and to lead this people. He asked for wisdom. Simple wisdom. And God honored that. And there was a time that Solomon knew that and was blessed by that. Lord, may we today also take the great person that we are. And I don't mean high lifted up. But I'm talking about the complex human being that we are. And say, Lord, it's too much for me. I got too many whims. You know, I got too many things I like, too many things I dislike. I got appetites and feelings and emotions and thinking. Oh, I can think. Oh, I can think. Lord, I got to bring all that to you, Lord. I want you to unite it with you. Bring it into subjection by my giving my will to you. Folks, that's how we know happiness. That's how we know joy. That's how we know peace. And that's how we'll know heaven. That's how we'll become an effective light bearer for the Word of God, for the Kingdom of God. That's how we'll become the salt of the earth. Because when I recognize, as we read earlier, I'm poor and I'm needy. But what has man thought? We can put you on the moon if you want to go. They're already booking flights. You know, for a few million dollars, 20 million or so, you can go around and around and around, around the earth. We can do a lot of things, folks. But we can't save a soul. We can't be holy and godly. We can't live at peace. We can't have joy in our mind and joy in our heart. Yet we got all this power. Lord, help us to ask the Lord today. Unite us. Sanctify us, Lord. Here I am, the person. I repent of my ways and I repent of my sin. Forgive me. I've taken my own path, and Lord, it was vanity and it accomplished nothing for good. I have got in a rut of blaming others. But Lord, it's my fault. I'm poor and I'm needy. I have misused this wonderful treasure that you created. Forgive me. But praise the Lord, He'll forgive you. But don't let it stop there. Lord, I don't ever want to go that way again. I don't want to ever see a tear in her eye again. I don't ever want my lips to utter that again. Lord, I don't ever want to bring sorrow and pain again. I don't ever want to yield again to that appetite of the flesh. Lord, I bring myself, my soul, my body, my mind, my spirit, however you want to say it, wholly to you, Lord. Unite it now. Will you take me? Take me, Lord. I give my will and I give myself. Now, Lord, unite my heart to you that we may be one. Jesus Christ came to be that atoning sacrifice for our misdeeds, folks. It starts by accepting Him, believing in Him. He is our propitiation. He is the atoning victim for our misdeeds. Take that. Believe in that. Then sanctify yourself through Christ. Let Him sanctify you, if you will. Take this fearful, wonderfully made person that you are and recognize the damage it can do left to yourself, the hurt it can cause, the warfare it creates. Recognize the eternal damnation that awaits it as long as I'm in control or you're in control. Take it and say, Lord, I'm too fearfully and complex. I'm too wonderfully made. I can't do it. Somewhere back there, my forefathers sinned, and I went right down the same path, Lord. And because of it, I have miscalculated terrible. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Now, Lord, take my life and unite it with you. And God will do that. And God will keep us. And God will protect us. And when we come down to the end, He said, you did well. Now I want you to enter in to the joys of your Lord. You pray for me.